Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I just say, if you've never had the opportunity to preach after that song, I highly recommend it. It's fantastic. If you're a guest today, if it's your first time, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here, and we are finishing up a series today called Love Songs. And the reason we did that song today was just because it was awesome. And also because we thought it was the perfect end to this series about love, about romantic love, because really, isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want someone to look at us and say, I will always love you, and you will always love me, and we will always be in love? I think that's what we're all searching for, and we make choices and decisions, and sometimes we say, well, this wasn't the right one, so I'm going to find a new one to make it the right one, and we're all looking for it. The reason I think we're all looking for it is because I believe it is what God designed us to experience. I believe it is God's plan and God's best for our life, and that's why we've been doing this series for the last 4 weeks. Today's the fifth week, and we're wrapping it up today. If you're a guest, and maybe you've missed some of the last couple of weeks, I encourage you at some point this week, why don't you visit this website, go to wellspringchurch.tv/lovesongs. You can visit that website. You can kind of check it out and see where we've been. Another thing I've been pointing out for the last few weeks is this is a series about love. This is a series about relationships. You ever heard the phrase, love hurts? Like, we've all experienced that. I know for some of us, this series brings up some negative stuff. It brings up some pain from the past. Maybe there are some wounds that you still need to have healed. And we want to be a part of that process for you as your church. We want to help you with that. And so one of the things we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is you can text Wellspring to 57682. You can text that, and we'll reach out to you. And we want to connect you with some help. And that help looks different for different people. Some of that help could just simply be prayer. We would love to pray for you and to pray over you and to pray for whatever your situation is. We'd also love to connect you with a circle of people. One of the cool things about a church this size is there's nothing that you're going through, that you're experiencing, that we don't have someone in our church that's on the other side of it. They've already experienced it. They're done and they're healed from it. And we would love to connect you with that person so that you could have someone to talk to, whatever it is you're walking through. And then number three, we can connect you with professional counselors, with professional help. I know in our society, sometimes there can be a stigma on going to get help, a stigma on counseling and all that. And I said this last hour, I want to say it again. I just need you to know that stigma comes from one place. It comes from the pit of hell. It comes from our enemy, the devil. He hates your guts. And the last thing he wants is for you to go get healed. The last thing he wants is for you to go get help. I've been to counseling. My wife has been to counseling. Pretty much everybody I know in ministry has been to counseling, whatever that means. but there is no stigma. Counselors are just simple people, simply people that we believe are gifted by God, men and women who can help, you find God's healing in your life for some of the pain you've walked through. And so please, if you need help, if there's someone you want to talk to, there's something going on and you're just struggling, you can't seem to get over the hump, let us connect you with some help. There's nothing wrong with it, and it'll radically transform your life. So that's where we've been. And like I said, today we're wrapping up this series. You see it there. It says, we made you a mixtape. We've been calling it a mixtape the whole our whole time together, because the book we're looking at is a book in the Old Testament. It's called the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. It was written by this guy Solomon, and it tells the story of he and his wife's kind of love life and their marriage. We've been calling it a mixtape because it's written in poetry. It's because it's a pretty graphic book, and so they kind of wrote in poetry to kind of hide some of the stuff they were talking about, because young people read the book, and they were trying to protect their ears, kind of like when we spell in front of our kids, and then they're like, I can spell, I'm 12. And you're like, oh, I forgot. That's true. You can. But it's also a mixtape because it moves around a lot. We've seen different series, different episodes in the life of our couple. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of wrap up this entire series with really, really a couple of clear points that I think make everything else possible. We've kind of been building to this series for the last 4 weeks. We've been learning a lot of practical tips, a lot of ways that you can engage your spouse, and a lot of ways, you know, if you're single, some principles you can put into practice. And they've been great principles. If you've missed them, let me kind of remind you where we've been. What we've really learned is we've learned that God gives permission for passion in your life and in your marriage. That God wants you to have a great marriage. He doesn't want it just to be okay. He wants it to be great. Not only does he give us permission for that passion, God gives us the pathway to that passion. And the pathway to passion is sacrifice. See, we think the pathway to passion is selfishness. Look for what I want, what pleases me, what makes me happy. But God says, no, it's the opposite. The pathway to passion is to spend your life pouring into someone else, to serve them, to love them, to care for them, and then they do the same thing back to you, and it stokes the flames of passion, and that's how you keep a great marriage. And for 4 weeks, that's what we've been talking about, and I hope you've taken some of these tips home. I hope you've tried to put them into practice in your life, and if you have, here's what I bet you've discovered. They make your life better, and they make your marriage better. Now, for some of you, maybe you're trying it, you're getting a little bit of progress, you take two steps forward, you take one step back. Yeah, that's called marriage. That's what it's going to be. And so, but maybe, you know, you can't quite figure out how to get to the next step, how to break through. And I think what we're going to talk about today could be the key for you and for your life and for your marriage. Because what we're going to talk about today is the most important thing we've talked about for the last 5 weeks. And we're going to fast forward today. We're going to go to the end of the book, and we're going to fast forward. A lot of people believe we could be fast forwarding pretty far, maybe even 40 years into the future. 40 years into the future, and we see a picture of Solomon and his wife. And it's a picture that I believe we all want. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Song of Songs, chapter 8. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. And this is how we start. If you remember, you know, in this book, Solomon speaks, his wife speaks, and then sometimes a chorus speaks. They're like, her friends will kind of comment on the action. And today, they speak first, and they kind of set the scene for us for what we're looking at. And here's what they say. They ask a question. Who is this sweeping in from the desert, leaning on her lover? So in essence, they're seeing something happen, and it's a couple walking in, and she's leaning on him. And this line there where it says, from the desert, that's why some people think that this is actually 40 years in the future, because they think that from the desert is an allusion to, if you know the story of the nation of Israel, when they were rescued from Egypt, before they made it to the promised land, they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years before they could go to the promised land. And so some people think this is an allusion to that, and that's how we know we're 40 years into the future. And it makes sense when you're thinking about it, because what this book is really saying is, you know, we've been watching them for the last 4 weeks, and they're this great couple. They're vibrant, they're happy, and, you know, they love each other, they serve each other. Even when they fight well, and they make up, and everything's great. And then it says, 40 years later, she's still leaning on her lover. 40 years later, they're still snuggling. They're still cuddling. Like those cute couples you see, like, walking in the mall in their little track suits. You know, they're just going. They're so cute. But he's saying, this is the picture. This is the picture. Lifelong love. Lifelong love. Passion. She's still cuddling with him. She's still leaning on him, not just physically, but emotionally. He is still her support system. They are still doing everything we've been talking about for the past few weeks. They're still doing it 40 years later. Lifelong love. It's as if God presents this picture. And he says, hey, this is what you want, right? This is the goal. This is the dream. This is what we all imagine when we walk down that aisle, when we said I do. Things happen, circumstances happen, but this is what we all thought we were doing. And God is saying, it's possible. And today, he's going to tell you how. So we present the picture. We see this picture, Solomon and his wife, 40 years later, still loving, still cuddling. And it's as if you're thinking about it in a movie, it's like you see him far away, and then it zooms in. And Mrs. Solomon speaks. And she speaks to him, But in speaking to Mr. Solomon, she's speaking to us, and she says, if you want this, if you want passion 40 years later, if you want lifelong love, here's what you must do. She says this, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. She's talking to him. She says, place me like a seal on your heart. Now, a seal was used to designate ownership, to designate identification. They would basically take some wax, and they would take a stamp, and they would put their seal. It was unique to the family, and they would put their seal on their stuff, on anything. It was a way of signifying, this is mine. It belongs to me. It was also, the seal was also used on legal documents. Instead of a signature, they would, when they agreed on the covenant arrangement, they would seal it with their document. It was a sign of their integrity. It was a sign, it was their name. It was them saying, I'm going to honor the words I've put here. So what she's saying to him is she's asking him to place her name on his heart. She's asking him to give her his heart, to let me own your heart. I know what some of you are thinking. You don't own me. That's not what I'm saying. What she's saying is she's saying, Solomon, I'm asking you to make a decision right now, no matter what, that I'm yours and you're mine. Let's just decide right now. And again, this is 40 years later. They've been making this decision every day for 40 years. But the reason I think it's in there is because it's important for us to point out and for us to realize in 21st century, where we see all these movies and we have romantic songs and music and love is just this powerful, explosive thing that no one can control. God is trying to bring us back to reality and say, guys, love is a choice. It's a choice. And what she's saying is, if you want to be in love 40 years from now, decide right now that you're going to be in love 40 years from now. Decide. Make a choice. She owns my heart, no one else. I own his heart, no one else. That is the choice. And I know what you're thinking, you know, how can you make that decision? It's easy, just make the decision. Just choose. Just decide. Love is way more of a choice than it is an emotion, than it is a feeling. See, what we're sold is that love is this uncontrollable force and this uncontrollable passion and no one can contain it and blah, blah, blah. Let me just take that to its logical conclusion. Okay, if you really believe that love is just this uncontrollable, untamable, unreconcilable thing that just happens in the middle of nowhere, there's not a marriage in this room that's safe. Because what if you somehow meet the one? No. That's what God is saying through Solomon's wife. You get to pick the one. You choose. You chose when you walked the aisle. You chose it when you said I do. You picked. And so if you want to be in love forever, decide right now you're going to be in love forever. Decide right now that I'm going to put a seal on my heart privately. She's mine and I'm hers. Nobody else. It's off the table. I'm not even going to consider it. It's not an option. Done. Seal on my heart. Publicly, seal on my arm. For all the world to see, she's mine. I'm hers. It's not an option. Nobody else is getting in. Not even considering this. I'm hers. She's mine. She's simply saying, dude, this is a choice, Solomon. You've been making it for 40 years. I'm going to ask you to keep making it. Place me like a seal over your heart. Place me like a seal on your arm. And it really comes down to a simple decision. It's simple to say. It's very hard to do. But it comes down to a decision that we don't really make anymore, specifically when it comes to marriage. And I'm going to challenge you today to reconsider. If you want lifelong love, if you are content to have the same kind of marriage everybody else has, if you're content for mediocre, don't do this. But if you want God's best, if you want passion in 40 years, if you want lifelong love, you want to place a seal in your heart, place a seal in your arm, there's a step we need to take, specifically as married couples, but even engaged couples, walking into marriage, dating couples, walking into marriage with this decision made. And this is it. I believe that you should decide to delete divorce from your vocabulary. Just highlight it. Hit delete. Gone. It's the only way to have lifelong love. The only way to have lifelong love is to decide leaving is not an option. You know why it's important? Because if you don't decide beforehand leaving is not an option, you know what you'll do? You'll leave. Because marriage is hard. I know what you're thinking. Oh, preacher, man, why do you know marriage is hard? You are a preacher and you're a preacher's wife, and I see the way she looks at you and the way y'all talk and the way y'all smile. Y'all don't fight. Yes, we do. I love you. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times, again, we're great. I love her more than I think any human being's ever loved another human being. I feel honored that she is my wife. I think we have a fantastic marriage. But I'm telling you right now, there have been seasons, there have been moments, there have been times that if I hadn't decided divorce isn't an option, I don't know if we'd still be together. Because we fight. And I don't mean cute fight. I mean screaming. I mean throwing some stuff. I don't throw stuff. I go to jail if I throw stuff. I don't throw stuff. I mean fights where words are said, you don't say at church. I mean fights where doors are slammed. Fights that end in one person getting in their car and driving away. And you're like, I hope she comes back. I don't know. Fights where the only thing that calmed me down, the only thing that calmed her down, the only thing that made us work to reconcile it was we're not leaving. And if leaving had been an option, we might have. I need you to hear me say that, because if this comes across as you've got a perfect marriage, so it's easy, that doesn't help. That's not helpful. You know, I think we have a phenomenal marriage, but I'm a human. She's a human. We're both people. We're both sinners that are saved by grace, but we still have sin in our lives. We still have selfishness in our lives, and we still fight selfishly sometimes. And I'm just telling you, if divorce is an option, if divorce is on the table, you will pick up that card. You will fight too hard. Somebody will say something they shouldn't have. It'll be used as a threat. It'll be used to manipulate. So take it off the table. Unless, let me be very clear, unless the covenant is broken. I do believe there are things one spouse can do that breaks the covenant. And when the covenant is broken, it is okay for the other person to break the covenant back. Abuse breaks the covenant. It breaks it. Breaks it. You can forgive him from jail. Maybe you can work it out, but abuse breaks it. Adultery breaks the covenant. Abandonment breaks the covenant. It breaks it. Now, hear me. God can heal a covenant. God can repair it. I have seen so many times marriages that have been broken, both parties came together, and God has healed it. But that repairedness, that fixing what was broken, always begins with repentance. It always begins with the party who broke the covenant coming back saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'm going to change my behavior going forward. It's always the beginning of that. So please, do not hear this as saying staying in an abusive relationship, staying in adultery. That is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about fighting. I'm talking about we've just fallen out of love. I'm talking about we don't make each other happy anymore. I'm talking about it's too hard. I'm talking about it should be easier. It shouldn't be this tough. This is a struggle. Are you kidding me? We're talking about marriage here. It's going to be tough. So what Mrs. Solomon is saying is, look, we know it's going to be tough, but if you want lifelong love, you have to plan to love for your whole life. So place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. Seal it. Make the decision to delete divorce from your vocabulary. It's just not even something you're going to discuss. It's not an option. When that option is off the table, when leaving is not an option, you fix things. You work through things. But why? Why do this, Trey? Why is this so important? Because it's worth it. That's what she says next. She says, for love is as strong as death, its passion as enduring as the grave. Saying, the reason you do this, the reason you place the seal is because it's worth it. Because this love is sure. That sounds pretty morbid. I didn't write this, by the way, just so you know. It sounds pretty morbid to talk about love and death. But here's what they're really saying. I hope you guys understand. We are all of us, 100% guaranteed to die at some point. You get that, right? 100% guaranteed happening death. That's what she's saying. When you place a seal on your hearts, love done this way, 100% guaranteed to work. That's what she's saying. It's that sure. It's that enduring. And you're like, how in the world can she say that? How can that be possible? And she tells you with this last line. Love flashes like fire, the very flame of the Lord. Here's what she means. Number one, love flashes like fire. I love that we use this fire metaphor, this fire picture for love, because everybody understands a fire. Everyone's seen a fire. Everyone's seen a fire roaring. Everyone's seen a fire go out. And everyone's seen a fire reignited. See, the reason I believe God uses this picture to talk about our relationships, specifically these romantic relationships, is because he's saying, yes, you used to do the right things and you stored the flames were roaring. You've kind of stopped doing those things. The flames have kind of died down. If you add the fuel, the fire returns. All you got to do is add the fuel. You add the fuel, you do what I say, the fire will come back, the passion will come back. And you say, but God, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. And this is the key to the whole thing. The last line where she says, the very flame of the Lord. See, here's what she's really saying. She's saying that God's love requires God's love. And you're like, what? What does that even mean? God's love, God's plan for you, God's plan for how you are to love each other, God's plan for your romantic love, God's plan for your life, that love, God's love he wants for you requires God's love in your life. In other words, if you want eternal love, you need to receive eternal love. What she's basically saying is, hey, guys, this is God's plan, this is God's path, this is God's way. None of it is possible without God in your life. None of it is possible without God playing an active role. That's what she's saying. Let's go back and look at it. When she's saying, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, what she's really meaning is you can't do this without the flame of God in your life, without love from the Lord. You can't make that choice. You can't just decide that. You can hope that. You can want that. But you can't just decide that in your own strength. You know, we all have things all the time. We're like, look, I'll never do it again, you know? Like, for me, for example, I will talk to my kids, 7, 10, and 12, three boys. I'll look them dead in the eye and be like, Dad, so sorry. Daddy lost his temper. I'll never yell again. After today. This morning. Before I left for church. You know, because I'm trying to do that in my own strength. I'm trying to do that. No, that's not how it works. You can't look at your spouse in the eye and say, I will love you forever on your own. But you know what you can say? I know my God loves me. And I know God has a plan for my life and a plan for yours. And with God's help, with God in this, I'm going to love you forever. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Whose love? God's love. Its passion as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire. Whose love? God's love. The very flame of the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying God's love requires God's love. God's love requires God's love. God's plan requires God's power. God has to be a part of this. God has to be moving in it. To make it abundantly simple, here's what I'm saying. Make Jesus the center of your life and your marriage. Let me give you guys a little hint. That is the bottom line for every sermon I've ever taught and ever will teach. Because Jesus really is the answer to everything. He makes your life better. And so if for the last 4 weeks you've been listening and you've been thinking this is good stuff, you don't really believe in God, but you're here and it's kind of helpful and your wife likes it or your husband likes it or your boyfriend likes it, your girlfriend likes it, your parents like that you come, and you've kind of started trying to put some of this into practice and it kind of works, but it kind of doesn't. You keep hitting that wall. You're not really sure what's going on. This is what's wrong. Jesus isn't the center of your life. And Jesus isn't the center of your marriage. You can change that. In fact, I think you must if you want God's plan, if you want God's best. And I even try to include this when I do marriages. I actually don't do as many weddings as I used to. But when I first moved here, a lot of people were asking me to do weddings, and I actually hadn't done a wedding before, so I had to write vows, and I didn't really want the TV vows because they just felt weird. And so I started writing some vows, and there's a line I have in my vows that some people have actually taken out, which I always find funny. But I'm like, fine, whatever, sure, wedding, not mine. My marriage is fine. And so, but there's a line in it when they're giving their vows to each other, and I have them both say this, look each other in the eye and say, I love you with a love only Christ himself could place in my heart. And the reason I want them to say that is because this is their wedding day. This is the day where everything's easy. This is the day where all the fires are burning, where everything's great. And I want them to remember, my love for you does not come from me. My love for you comes from my Heavenly Father. Because if they can remember that, they'll be fine. Because that love from their Heavenly Father will never go away. It is permanent. It is eternal. It is everlasting. It is all-powerful. So if you go into marriage knowing my source of love comes from an everlasting Father, you can be confident that my source for you, my love for you, will never go away because my source will never run dry. Of course I can place you. Of course I can do this because God's in this. God is my strength. God is my source. God is the one who provides this for me. So of course I can love you forever because God's going to love me forever. And see, when you begin to understand that, like Solomon and his wife did, when you understand that it really all does revolve around Jesus, and that when Jesus is a part of your life, he can begin to heal you, he can begin to clean you, he can begin to chip away at the insecurities and chip away at the selfishness and chip away at the pain. And I don't mean chip away like cover up. I mean chip away like heal, like set free from, like addictions broken, insecurities made whole. Pain healed. Forgiveness that's not just token, fine, I'll be in the same room with you, but forgiveness that is so true and so deep and so crazy that the people don't even understand how it's possible that they feel the way they feel, but they just know that their God is good. He raises the dead. He raised their heart back from the dead, and there is joy and there is healing. I can't explain it all. I just know that we serve a God who can do these things. And I know, specifically for the men in the room, I felt compelled to say this for all three services, for the men in the room, the men who love your wives, the men who love your family, the men who would do anything possible to care for them. You feel it in your bones. It is your job. You were put on this earth to care for your family. You will fight for your family. You will do anything it takes to keep them safe. Please hear me from the bottom of my heart. The best, most loving thing, the most logical thing, the most reasonable thing, the most rational thing you can ever do for your family to ensure their health and safety and security is to make Jesus the center of your life and your marriage. Now, I can't make that decision for you. But I'm telling you, man, there's nothing better. There's nothing you can do to more solidify your family's future right now than to make that decision. Moms, there is nothing better you can do to care for your children, to care for your family, to ensure their future than to make that decision. Teenagers. There is nothing better you can do in your life than to make that decision. because we tied the results of our life not to ourselves, but to an all-loving, all-powerful God of the universe who loved us so much he gave his son for us, but was powerful enough that he could bring him back to life. And when we do, here's what happens. Here's what Mrs. Solomon says. She says, look, many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. See, I love this picture because what she's saying here is it won't always be easy. Storms will come. If you actually fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus, when he was talking, he gave this long sermon one day, and he said, anybody who listens to this and does what it says is smart, like a person who builds their house on a firm foundation. But if you listen and don't do what it says, you're like a person who builds his house on sand. Because when these storms come, the firm foundation will last, and the weak foundation won't. When these storms come, that's what she's saying here. Many waters cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. What she's saying is storms will come. Things will happen that will test your marriage. Those storms, they're called children. That's actually why the Hurricane Center names storms after kids. No, I'm just kidding. But things will happen. This isn't a promise that everything will be perfect forever, that you'll never have struggles, that you'll never have trials. It's a promise that the love that God has put in you through his son is strong enough to endure through the trials. Which, isn't that better? Life would just kind of be boring if everything was always great and always easy and got it all the way. Sometimes it's you struggle a little bit, and it's nice to have that sense of, man, I'm going to come to the other side. We're going to make this. It's going to be okay. And that's what she's saying. When you make Jesus the center of your life and your marriage, anything that happens, it's going to come. It cannot quench love. In fact, look at this. It says, if a man tried to buy love, this real love, if he tried to buy it with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more precious, nothing more life-changing than the love of God in you. And then when you allow the love of God to flow through you, to your spouse, to your kids, to your neighbors, to the world, there is nothing better. I am convinced one of the greatest tools God can use to transform this region is vibrant, healthy marriages with Jesus at the center. Because, man, would you look different. A husband and a wife that have been married for 20 years and they still like each other? What? And guys, I know it sounds so difficult, but I'm telling you, what we're learning today is it comes down to a decision. And it comes down to devotion. The decision is simple. The decision is to decide to delete divorce from your vocabulary. Just take it off the table. It's not an option. I'm never leaving you. You're never leaving me. Sealed. I'm yours. You're mine. How do we do that? You make the decision through devotion. Devotion to God. Because God's love requires God's love. It does. You will never be able to be truly devoted to your spouse until you devote your life to God. It just won't happen. Because God's love requires God's love. So what do? We make Jesus the center of our life and our marriage. We make him the center. And I know for some of you today, you've been coming for Wellspring for a while, you've been checking things out, but you've never made that decision. You have never made Jesus the center of your life, and I'm begging you to not leave here today without making that decision. It's the most loving thing you could ever do for your wife. It's the most loving thing you could ever do for your husband. It's the most loving thing you could ever do for your kids. It's to invite Jesus in. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if today is the day you want to say, you know what, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to invite him in. I want to surrender control. I want him to lead my life. Then you just simply pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud. Say, God, I need your help. I can't do it on my own anymore. It's not working. God, I admit I've tried to do it on my own. I admit I've made mistakes. I admit I've sinned. But I believe your son paid the price. I believe he set me free. I believe when he came back to life, it showed that I could too, and that I could live a life that you want. So today I commit my life to you. I don't know what it means. but I want you in charge. So I commit to follow you for the rest of my life. Change me. Change my family. And use me to change the world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody look at me. If you prayed that prayer, our belief is that your life just changed. We believe that the God of the universe just began a relationship with you. And we believe that it is our job as your church to help you learn how to grow that relationship for the rest of your life. And so we celebrate with you. One thing we'd ask is there's a connection card in your chair. If you take that connection card to the info desk or take it to the blue room, we'd just love to know what's going on in your life so we can pray for you and celebrate with you. But more importantly, jump in, get involved at a church. Get involved in this church so that you can, as David, which is Solomon's dad, says, so you can taste and see that God is good. So you can discover what he wants for your life. Come back next week as we're kicking off a brand new series, because everything we do every week is about how to bring our lives more and more in line with what God wants for us. And I just want to close really quickly speaking to married couples, to engaged couples, to dating couples who are almost to engagement. I would love to just pray over you because this is not easy. But it is worth it. So it's like anything with God. Anything God wants for your life will require his interaction in your life to make it possible. So my prayer is you invite God in and that you begin to experience the fruit of a life fully devoted to him. So let me pray. God, I just want to pray for every marriage in this room. Lord, I want to pray for every engaged couple in this room. I want to pray for every dating couple moving toward engagement. God, I just want your truth and your spirit to be alive in their relationships. Lord, specifically for the marriages in the room, I just pray that you will begin right now to reignite the flames, reignite the passion, to draw each other, to draw them closer to each other. Lord, give them the courage and the strength to place seals on their hearts, seals on their arms, to take divorce off the table. Lord, make them painfully aware that your love requires your love. Lord, when they come to the end of themselves, may they find you waiting, arms open, ready to fill them. Lord, I pray your son will be alive in their lives and alive in their hearts, that he'll heal the hurts, he'll chip away at the pain, and that we will just see a new season of fresh, vibrant, thriving, growing marriages that honor you because you are in the center. Lord, we love you. I pray for every marriage in this room. I pray that it will be the best it could possibly be. I pray that the passions will be reignited in your name. And we do all this because of your son. It's his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.